Hi, One School, One Book readers. This is Mrs. Schmidt. Around 6 that evening, Sandy and Max returned. When the police knocked on the door of the greenhouse, Stephen's parents opened it and answered questions. They shook their heads. They shrugged. Then they shut their door and closed the curtains. When the police knocked on the door of the blue house, Samar's parents opened it and answered questions. They rubbed their eyes. They sighed. Then they, too, shut their door and closed the curtains. As Sandy and Max headed back to their cruiser, Sandy paused beneath me. "I wonder if we should make a wish," she said. "Might be our last chance." "I'll tell you what I wish for," Max said. "I wish I didn't have to investigate things like this." Sandy patted his shoulder. "I wouldn't hold my breath on that one." As for me, I spent the evening hours reassuring the parents and offspring who called me their home. They weren't just worried about where they would have to move, of course. They were worried about me. I was worried about me, too. I didn't want to leave the world I loved so much. I wanted to meet next spring's owl nestlings. I wanted to praise the new maple sapling across the street when it blushed red as sunset. I wanted my roots to journey further, my branches to reach higher. But that is how it is when you love life. And I could accept that if my time had come, it had come. After a life as fine as mine, who was I to complain? I was worried about the babies, though, about their parents scrambling to find new, safe places to line their nests, dig their burrows, hide their winter stashes of acorns. Most of all, I was worried about Samar. I didn't know why. Perhaps it was because she reminded me so much of another little girl from another time long ago. A little girl I'd managed to shelter successfully. Francesca's great-grandmother. Like I said, we go way back. Long after midnight, Samar came to visit me. She wore a blue robe. Her dark, curly hair was pulled back in a loose ponytail. Her eyes held moonlight in them. She sat at the base of my trunk on her blanket. She didn't look at the carved wood, or the splinter of moon, or the blue and green houses. She just sat quietly and waited. It always took a while, but it always happened. One by one, the babies ventured out to see her. Harold was first, flapping awkwardly down to the ground. The raccoon babies, you, you, and you, were next. Raccoon mothers are notoriously forgetful, so they don't bother with traditional names. The opossums, the skunks, they all came. Samar sat perfectly still. The babies circled her. Together they sat in the shimmer of moonlight and listened to my leaves rustle. Bongo settled on Samar's shoulder. "Hello," she said, in her crow version of Samar's voice. "Hello," Samar said, echoing the echo. Bongo squawked and Samar jumped a bit. Even Bongo's quietest caw is a bit on the harsh side. Bongo flew up to my smallest hollow and poked her head inside, her tail feathers still visible. With something shiny in her beak, she returned to the ground in front of Samar. Gently, she placed a tiny silver key attached to a long, faded red ribbon in Samar's open hand. "It's beautiful," Samar whispered. "Thank you." Bongo bent forward, wings spread, in a sort of bow. It was, in crow circles, a sign of great affection. I'd seen that key before. Bongo had inherited it from her mother. Crows live in extended families, and they pass information across generations. It didn't surprise me that Bongo still had the key, or that she'd decide to give it to Samar. In the sweet calm, surrounded by everything, I loved. Moonlight, air, grass, animals, earth, people. I wondered, with a pang, how much longer I'd be able to savor such moments. I wondered, too, if I'd done enough for the world I loved. It was something I'd asked myself before. But impending death has a way of focusing your attention. Sure, I provided plenty of shade, made oceans of oxygen for people to breathe, been a home to an endless parade of animals and insects. I'd done my job. A tree is, after all, just a tree. Like I told Bongo, we grow as we must grow, as our seeds decided long ago. And yet, 216 rings, 864 seasons, and still something was missing. My life had been so safe. Upstairs, a curtain in the greenhouse moved. Behind it, Stephen was just visible, watching us. I knew what he was thinking. One of the advantages of being a good listener is that you learn a great deal about how the world works. In Stephen's eyes, in the way he'd looked at Samar that afternoon, I saw something I'd seen many times before. A wish. After Samar left, I felt restless. Restlessness is not a useful quality in a tree. We move in tiny bits, cell by cell, roots inching further, buds nudged into the sunlight, or we move because someone transplants us to a new location. When you're a red oak, there's no point in feeling fidgety. Trees, as I've said, are meant to listen, to observe, to endure. And yet just once, before I said goodbye to the world, what would it be like to be something other than passive, to be an actor in the stories unfolding around me, maybe even to make things a bit better? Bongo, I said softly, are you awake? I am now, she grumbled. I have a question. I'll get back to you first thing in the morning. How does friendship happen? Bongo responded by snoring. I could tell it was a fake snore. Her real snores are so loud they scare the baby opossums. I'm serious, I said. Bongo groaned. I don't know, it just happens. But how does it happen? Friends have things in common, Bongo said. And there you go, your answer in 5 words. See you in the AM, pal. I thought about her reply. But what do you and I really have in common when you get right down to it? With a loud exhale, Bongo flew to the ground. Okay, I'm thoroughly awake now. Thank you very much. What's this all about? Just an idea. Here's an idea for you. Ideas are a bad idea, said Bongo, especially if someone is in busybody mode. I'm looking at you, Red. Back to my question. Why are we friends? Okay, fine. Let me think on it for a minute. Bongo walked in a slow circle around my trunk, considering. I love the way birds move, so unlike trees. We bend with the wind. We're graceful and unhurried. Birds, on the other hand, move in flits and twitches. Their heads whip from side to side, as if they've just heard astonishing news. Bongo paused. Well, to begin with, you're my home, and I'm your tenant. But that's not really a reason for us to be friends. I've had residents I wasn't particularly fond of. That squirrel? What was his name? Squinch? The one with bad breath? It's not important. Knew it was Squinch. Bongo, I said, please focus. Bongo gazed up at me. We're friends because we're friends, Red. Isn't that enough? Her voice was small and sweet, not her usual get-to-the-point crow tone. You're right, I said, but suppose two people needed to be friends. How would you make that happen? Maybe get them together, doing something. They yak, share a laugh. Voila, friendship. Am I right? I don't like it when you humming leads to ideas. You can go back to sleep, Bongo. Thanks for talking. You're a good friend. Likewise, Bongo flew back up to her nest. Hey, be sure to let me sleep in. Bongo? Now what? One more thing. Why do you think people can be so cruel to each other? It's not like the rest of us are exactly angels. Last night, I saw Agnes eat a whole lizard in one bite. Agnes, the barn owl who lived with her nestlings in my highest hollow, flapped her wings in annoyance. Hey, a girl's got to eat, and you're a fine one to talk, Bongo, she said. Is there anything crows won't eat? My point, Bongo continued, is that the world's a tough place. Doesn't matter if you're a bunny or a lizard or a kid. With that, Bongo started snoring. For real this time. But I was still wide awake. Ma, what's that horrible noise? Came the startled voice of a baby opossum. That's just Bongo sleeping, her mother replied. Bongo had been right. I was hatching an idea. She'd always said I was a busybody, not to mention an optimist. An optimistic Budinsky. Well, there are worse things. Trees are the strong, silent type, unless we're not. Bongo, I said early that morning as the last stars faded like weary fireflies, there's something I need you to do. Does it involve potato chips? Bongo mumbled. No, then I'd rather sleep. It's about Samar. You promised you'd let me sleep in. I didn't promise. You implied. I want to grant Samar's wish. This roused Bongo. She fluttered down to her favorite branch, the one she nicknamed home plate. Bongo likes to watch the kids play softball at the elementary school. Red, you don't make wishes happen. You're the place where wishes go. You're like a leafy garbage can in a good way. For 216 rings, I sat on my roots and listened to people hope for things. And a lot of times, those wishes never happen, I'm guessing. Bongo tucked a feather into place. Sometimes that's for the best. Remember that kindergartner who wanted a bulldozer? I'm passive. I just sit here watching the world. You're a tree, Red. That's kind of the job description. This is a wish tree, and it's a wish I can make happen. I paused. Well, we can make happen. Yeah, I had a feeling that's where this was going. Bongo glided to the ground. Look, I heard Samar's wish. How exactly are you going to find her a friend? You'll see, I said, hoping I sounded more confident than I felt. Red, Bongo paced back and forth. With each step, her head bobbed forward. We've got more serious issues, pal. Francesca's talking about turning you into toothpicks. And your residents are frantic about where you're going to move if that happens. She came close and nudged me fondly. Of course, they're worried about you, too. I know that. Fresh baked bread poked her head out from under the porch. It was barely dawn, and only the white stripe running the length of her face was clearly visible. I've offered to take in one of those tree families temporarily, she announced. Preferably the opossums. They're better behaved than yours. That's very generous of you, Fresh, I said. But I was interrupted by Big Hugh, the mother of the three raccoon babies. She was in my large hollow, grumbling under her breath. I beg your pardon, she exclaimed. You, and you have excellent manners. They're too inquisitive, said Fresh Baked Bread. Always poking their noses where they shouldn't be, grabbing things with those little paws of theirs. Well, at least they don't stink, Big Hugh cried. And your children have paws, last time I checked. Harry Spiders, the mother opossum, peeked out cautiously from her own hollow. Opossums name themselves after things they fear. Stink is in the nose of the beholder, said Harry Spiders. And while I personally think your children have a delightful odor, Fresh, I've already got dibs on the wood pile two doors down. Should anything happen to dear Red, she patted me. No offense, love, just thinking ahead, you know. No offense taken, I assured her. I saw that pile first, Big Hugh cried. Share the skunk den, Harry Spider said. I wouldn't be caught dead in that place, Big Hugh exclaimed. Not you, now that I know my inquisitive children aren't wanted. Well, they're a bit boisterous, said Harry Spiders. At least my children have spunk, said Big Hugh. Your kids faint when they see their own shadows. Playing possum is a useful adaptation, said Harry Spiders, her pink nose twitching. The world is a dangerous place, and in any case, we can't control it. It just happens. If I may interrupt, came a cool voice from my highest branches. It was Agnes. There's a nice-looking linden tree two blocks away, just vacated by a gray squirrel family. We're looking at it as a possibility, but there's a tomcat that runs loose there. Collar, no bell, so that's an issue. Also, a big slobbery dog. In all fairness, all dogs are slobbery, Bongo observed. I really think you should all calm down, I interrupted. Let's not buy trouble. One day at a time, my friends. Who knows what tomorrow may bring? The mothers glared at me. I heard a great deal of sighing. Too much wise old tree, I asked. Too much wise old tree, Bongo confirmed as everyone retreated into their homes in a huff. They're all a bit tense, Bongo said. Worried about your situation. I can see that. I'm worried too, Bongo said in an almost whisper. I know, I said gently, but every cloud has a silver red, Bongo interrupted. Sorry. There must be something I can do, Bongo said. You're a good friend, Bongo, but sometimes all you do is stand tall and reach deep. Red. Sorry, I said again. What will I do without you, Red? Bongo said softly. You'll be fine, my friend, I promise. We both fell quiet. At last, Bongo shook herself, feathers fluffing. In any case, maybe not the best time to be granting wishes is my point. Seems to me this is exactly the right time, I replied. Bongo groaned her little old man groan. She knew I wasn't backing down. And with that, we began to plan.